At 10 o'clock of a rain-swept morning in London's West End, a young woman in a baggy anorak, a woolen scarf pulled up around her head, strode resolutely into the storm that was roaring down South Audley Street. Her name was Lily, and she was in a state of emotional anxiety which at moments turned to outrage. With one mittened hand, she shielded her eyes from the rain while she glowered at door numbers, and with the other steered a plastic-covered pushchair that contained Sam, her 2-year-old son. Some houses were so grand they had no numbers at all. Others had numbers, but belonged to the wrong street. Arriving at a pretentious doorway with its number painted with unusual clarity on one pillar, she climbed the steps backwards, hauling the pushchair after her, scowled at a list of names beside the owner's bell buttons, and jabbed the lowest. "Just give the door a push, dear," a kindly woman's voice advised her over the speaker. "I need Proctor," she said. "Proctor or no one," Lily said, straight back. "Stuart's on his way now, dear," the same soothing voice announced, and seconds later the front door opened to reveal a stalky, bespectacled man in his mid-50s, with a leftward lean to his body and a long, beakish head tilted in semi-humorous inquiry. A matronly woman with white hair and a cardigan stood at his shoulder. "I'm Proctor. Do you want a hand with that?" he asked, peering into the pushchair. "How do I know it's you?" Lily demanded in reply. "Because your revered mother phoned me last night on my private number and urged me to be here." "She said alone," Lily objected, scowling at the matronly woman. "Marie looks after the house. She's also happy to lend any kind of spare hand if needed," said Proctor. The matronly woman stepped forward, but Lily shrugged her away, and Proctor closed the door after her. In the quiet of the entrance hall, she rolled back the plastic cover until the top of the sleeping boy's head was revealed. His hair was black and curly, his expression enviably content. "He was awake all night," Lily said, laying a hand on the child's brow. "Beautiful," the woman Marie said. Steering the pushchair under the staircase, where it was darkest, Lily delved in its underside and extracted a large, unmarked white envelope, and stood herself before Proctor. His half-smile reminded her of an elderly priest she'd been supposed to confess her sins to at boarding school. She hadn't liked the school, and she hadn't liked the priest, and she didn't intend to like Proctor now. "I'm supposed to sit here and wait while you read it," she informed him. "Of course you are," Proctor agreed pleasantly, peering crookedly down at her through his spectacles. "And can I also say I'm very, very sorry?" "If you've got a message back, I'm to give it to her by mouth," she said. "She doesn't want phone calls, texts or emails, not from the service or anyone, including you." "That's all very sad too," Proctor commented, after a moment of sombre reflection, and as if only now waking to the envelope he was holding in his hand, he poked at it speculatively with his bony fingers. "Quite an opus, I must say. How many pages, would you think?" "I don't know." "Home stationery?" Still poking. "Can't be. Nobody has home stationery this size. Just normal typing paper, I suppose." "I haven't seen inside. I told you." "Of course you did." "Well," with a comic little smile that momentarily disarmed her. "To work, then. Looks as if I'm in for a long read. Will you excuse me if I withdraw?"